Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Terrell Pryor.
No hesitation whatsoever. Terrell Pryor. 6'6", 240, playing quarterback in high school. I talked to colleges, okay? Yeah. He would have been recruited as a five-star at every position other than O-line.
So D-end, everything? Like
D-end, corner.
Safety.
He ran a 4.3 at 6'6", 240. Incredible. Okay, I got to give you one quick
example. Let's talk Terrell Pryor.
Okay, Terrell Pryor. He's playing quarterback in the state championship game. I'm calling the game. Okay?
What's the high school?
Jeanette High School. Of course, Jeanette High School, Western PA. All right, Terrell Pryor, 6'6", 240. Nobody can even get close to him. The kids bounce off of him, whatever. He's like the greatest athlete you've ever seen. There's only 3 seconds left. They're at the 40-yard line before halftime. They bring the backup quarterback in, okay? They put Pryor at receiver. Everybody in this stadium, Hershey Park Stadium, everybody knows what's about to happen.
Hail Mary to Pryor.
They throw a Hail Mary to Pryor. There's 3 kids around him, okay? He jumps up. He catches it. And then he holds the ball. I got my eraser.
Yeah.
He holds the ball above his head like this. And all of the poor kids from Dunmore High School, which is where Vic Fangio went, Northeast PA. I could do this all day, by the way. All the kids are like 6-year-olds. Like, like they're reaching at it. Yes. And Terrell Pryor is like looking at them and goes like that and hands the ball to the ref.
Unbelievable.
Like goes like that over their head. It was the sickest thing I've ever seen.
All right, here's a palate cleanser, a fun topic to start today's show. Ross Tucker, who we also really like, was on Good Morning Football filling in today, and that question came up, and as soon as I saw the answer and how quickly he answered it, I'm like, we need to talk about this. Ross lives near Harrisburg and has called high school football games, PIAA playoff games and state championship games for like 20 years.
The pride of Wyomissing High School, which if you follow state football, when the Whipple teams get into the state playoffs, Wyomissing has often fielded very good teams.
Is that Taylor Swift's high school? I think it might be.
I thought she went somewhere else in the area.
But close by.
She's from that general part of Pennsylvania.
Anyways, you said Terrell Pryor right away. So let's start there. We've got 2 tickets to give away to see Pearl Jam at the arena in a couple of weeks. They're coming May 18th. Do you agree with Ross Tucker? Best high school football player you've ever seen? 412-928-9370. 412-928-9370. I have a quick one because I didn't grow up here. This the one thing people hate about me. I had no control over it. I couldn't have my mom and dad drive to Pittsburgh, give birth to me here so I could claim that I've been a Pittsburgher all my life. I wish they had, because that would make it less of an uphill battle.
It's definitely the only thing people hate about you.
Will Smith, who played at Ohio State and played for the Saints, is the best high school football player
I ever saw.
He was probably 5 years older than me, so I never played against him in any sports. But he went to a neighboring high school, went to the same high school as my cousin. And he wore, first of all, he wore rec specs for high school hoops, which I always had a ton
of respect
for.
Yeah,
and you couldn't mess with a dude that big and make fun of him for wearing rec specs when he was built.
You could mess with a Malzi for wearing rec specs.
And he played end, he played running back, and he punted.
The punting thing is one of my favorite parts because it's like, does Will Smith likely have great punting form?
No,
but he's just got such a strong leg.
But you got to remember, when we were in school, at least where I lived, a lot of the high school teams still had the old school artificial turf, not the new age
fake
grass. Not
the Veterans Stadium stuff.
Like the exactly, or Three River Stadium turf.
The stuff that hurt.
So
bad.
I mean, you could punt the ball 20 yards, and it might be a 50-yard punt.
Yeah, roll it 30
yards. If it got the right roll, exactly.
But I just always laugh thinking, like, usually the best athlete, if no one on the team is, like, a soccer player or good at kicking the ball, you just give it the ball to the best athlete and say, do your best.
But it was the prototypical, here is a human being who looks like he's 27 years old, and he's playing against teenagers.
Right.
And that's what – I didn't go to all of his games, but I went to his biggest ones. Because everybody knew he was going to be, you know, arguably the greatest football player to come out of our town ever. Yeah. And that's, like, you expected him to pick up 17 and 18-year-olds and throw them several yards downfield to get to the quarterback on every play. And that's pretty much what he did.
So is
Pryor yours?
I only have two.
Pick one. Don't say this guy and that guy. Tucker didn't go on.
Then
and
I have to put. Then I have
one.
To put Pryor over. No,
no, you don't. You can do whatever you want here. No one's holding you at gunpoint. Pick Malzie, the greatest high school football player you ever.
All right. God, I know the rules here. I'm deciding.
Well, then why are you trying to break them right off the bat?
Because I'm genuinely torn. Because I think LeVar Arrington belongs in that same sentence among people I've seen. I saw LeVar Arrington with a punt get snapped over his head. He was the punter.
Yeah.
I think it was against North Allegheny, if memory serves, pick up the ball in the end zone and run through the entire NA team about twice to take a botched punt snap in for a touchdown. He was in ninth grade. He was ruining scrimmages. And Jack McCurry, the coach back then at North Hills, had like a standing policy of I do not play freshmen no matter how gifted they are. And he just tossed that right in the trash for LeVar. I'm going to say Pryor, though. I will, because he was the quarterback.
Wow.
And so he would just – here's the play that I always laugh at with him. He was playing. They were playing Beaver Falls in the Whippeal, I want to say 2A title game, because level of competition. LeVar was in Quad A, was the only pause I had here. Like, do you give him the nod because he was playing against bigger rosters? Todd Thomas was on that Beaver Falls team, and Pryor's team was blowing them out, but it wasn't so lopsided yet that Terrell was out of the game and they were just letting the backups play. The Skrabinskis and Skrabinos get some burn.
Yep.
They have 4th-and-1. They line him up under center. And even he at that point just said, all right, I'm going to fall forward and get like 3 yards and get the first down. He takes the snap. Todd Thomas, again, is playing like strong safety for Beaver Falls or whatever. He takes the snap and like leans forward like he's expecting to just have whoever their linemen are like manage to at least fall on him. He takes about 2 steps leaning over like in a crouch. No one falls on him. He literally, and I remember it this way, he stands up kind of like shrugs that nobody's around him and just takes off like a shot down the middle of the field. Todd Thomas, great athlete in his own right, probably the best player on the field in 95% of the games he played in high school, has a decent angle on him. And it was just like watching a car, like a Ferrari, accelerate away from an old Volkswagen Beetle. No disrespect intended truly to Todd Thomas, a very good football player in his own right. It was just watching 2 different speeds of football, even knowing that both guys were going D1. One guy was a dude. One guy was a guy. So I will go with Pryor very narrowly over Arrington.
Donnie, do you agree with Tucker that he could have been at Ohio State recruited to play any position except the offensive line?
Yeah, I didn't know that much about him. I did know that both coaches at Ohio State talked about him playing both sports. And I mean, Jim Tressel,
basketball.
And then Thad Matta also talked to him about playing football, because not only was he a man amongst boys on the field, he was a top 50 high school basketball recruit. He was a better high school basketball recruit than a guy like Klay Thompson, who's been in the NBA for, 15 years? And one of the better three-point shooters
he
of his
was.
Era.
So, do you guys remember, I've told this story a little bit about John Baldwin, where he wanted to play basketball in college, and like some guy who was like trying to advise him basically said, they were in New York City for something, and he said, here's Rucker Park, there are 15 guys there right now who are your height, as athletic as you, and better than you at basketball. There aren't 5 people in the United States who are a wide receiver prospect that are as big and strong
sage
as you.
Sage advice.
Right, it was very good advice. No one ever said that about Terrell Pryor on a basketball court. Not one person.
Who would you compare his style of game to?
It's hard because when he played basketball, he was so much better physically than everybody. Like, he didn't have
to. So he just went
to
the basket every time.
Yeah, I mean, he would shoot the ball to, like, prove that he could do it. My alma mater, North Catholic, beat Jeanette in the Whippeal finals the year after Terrell graduated.
Oh, okay.
When Jordan Hall was their best player. They could actually handle him. He was 5'10", just chucking from everywhere. When Terrell was there, they got beat by 30. That should tell you all you need to know about how good he was. It wasn't even a game. They just got stomped. He was a top – I mean, I don't know, Pony. Like, think about Gilbert Brown at Pitt, a 6'6 guy who was pretty much a top-drawer athlete. Terrell Pryor was a better prospect than him on the basketball court. No doubt. I mean, he's a legitimate five-star in both sports. How rare is that?
So think about all the Hall of Famers this region has produced. Aaron Donald, Darrell Revis,
yep.
Quarterbacks, Dan Marino, Joe Montana, Ty Law, another great one. You go into the way, way, way back machine, the ancient heads who are listening could bring up like Unitas or Namath.
The middle tier could say Frelick and guys like that.
And both of you guys, and you're not identical ages, you and Donnie. You're older than Donnie by about a decade. Both say Pryor. And Tucker said the same thing.
He's a freak show, man.
I mean,
really
this area where high school football is basically a religion, and we've pumped out so many great players, and both of you guys believe that's the right answer. That's interesting to me.
6'6", 240 with that kind of foot speed just doesn't grow in trees. I guess I will always be curious if he had played in, like, quad or at that point maybe 5A, would teams have had just generally, if you put that Jeanette team against Central, he's not going to be able to do the things that he did because their line's going to get overwhelmed. But if in an apples-to-apples situation you could drop him on to, say, North Hills playing North Allegheny, I think it would have looked much the same as it did, a man among boys. Arrington's the only one in my lifetime that's close. Other people will tell you Brian Davis at Wash High, who obviously never – it was one of the greatest that never was. Some people up in Beaver County who are younger might say Russell Shell as a freshman just dominating. But, Revis scored 5 touchdowns in the state title game. But all of those guys were like peak versions of an athlete you see somewhat regularly, right? Like Revis was 6 foot or maybe 6'1", 190 or whatever. Russell Shell was 5'11", 220, 210. 6'6", 240, basically Julius Pepper size minus like 30 pounds, doing whatever he wanted to do on a football field. I recall being games where like somebody even slowed him down.
I think at the end of the day, he played the wrong position then.
Edge rusher, or
wide receiver. I mean,
where's he going to get the most money?
He picked up the position on the fly in the NFL and had a 1,000-yard season with the Browns. I mean, if he had concentrated on, you know, a position like that out of high school, maybe he's Calvin Johnson. I don't know.
It's hard for me to put a value judgment on the following thought, though, because even though he went to Ohio State, like, and so he's on a place where he's going to be in the spotlight. I remember there were people who felt while he was there, they did not do enough to, because it's not their job theoretically to do this. They didn't help him like learn some of the things or polish some of the traits that would have helped him become a better NFL quarterback.
I always thought he was more athlete than quarterback.
It was
take the shotgun snap
though and run the ball. All hell breaks loose. Like that's not to denigrate Ohio State. Maybe he never was going to be. He was more athlete than that than quarterback, but.
That's what I mean. Get into one of those positions.
I know,
don't waste it.
I know, but I think it would have been tough to tell somebody, hey, you have this top-drawer athlete. It's not like he sucked at Ohio State because he was more athlete than quarterback.
Sure.
It's hard to tell a coach or tell even the player himself, hey, man, I know you love doing this. The ball's in your hand every play, and you are better athletically than every single person trying to stop you, but you should how are you going to tell that guy switch positions? It's almost like he had to get to the NFL and find out that, like, yeah, it's at this level it actually is a different animal because there are guys as big and as athletic as me. But in high school, it was just the story Ross tells there is just funny because it's completely believable. Just like a giant, oversized 17-year-old basically playing with what looked like his neighbor.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
There's little brothers.
Listen to Starkey and Pop every Wednesday to hear about Joe's Card of the Week from Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon. The 93.7thefan.com contesting page. All right. Palate cleanser topic to start. Ross Tucker, who's one of our Odyssey analysts. Ross comes on the show all the time. Great dude. NFL on CBS. NFL on Westwood One. Calling games here on The Fan, too. Has done high school football games based out of Harrisburg. WPIL games, PIAA games, state championship games for decades, and says Terrell Pryor's the best high school football player he's ever seen. Do you agree with him? 412-928-9370. I think both. I didn't even ask Donnie because I think I knew Donnie's answer that he was going to say Pryor.
Well, Westmoreland County.
Donnie became an Ohio State fan because of Terrell
That's
Pryor.
Not true. I was an Ohio State fan before, but he certainly helped solidify it.
Would you become an Ohio State fan because of Craig Krenzel?
Yeah, what is the
genesis? And
Maurice
Clarett, baby.
Is that seriously the genesis of your Ohio
Clarett,
State fandom?
I can believe.
I was in, like, first grade, and every single kid, it was Pitt, Penn State, Notre Dame. I didn't want to like any of those teams when I was six.
Not a follower, a leader we're talking
about. But all those kids like the Steelers and the Pirates, and you picked those teams.
I mean, I guess, but I didn't have to. I feel like the allegiances to college teams were, like, way more obnoxious.
I agree with that,
because
actually,
if you were different, you had to make everybody know about it. So, like, I had to know if somebody liked Notre Dame. I had to know if somebody liked Penn State. Like, we all just assume we all like the Steelers and Pirates.
Yeah, I think you're actually correct on that, because there's a lot of extra college choices. Most people that settle or have lived in Pittsburgh like the Steelers, but a lot of them all went to different colleges. Like, somebody's pap loves Notre Dame, and so it's time for
I just wasn't sure if Donnie was a just wanted to go the other way with everything back then, and then as he got older, like, got more into the
Steelers. Can you imagine, like, a first grade aged Austin Bechtold? He's picking a new favorite college team every week.
He wears, like, the jacket that has all the logos on it.
He's got the entire Big Ten and SEC on his jacket.
Let's start with Brian. He's on The Fan. Hello, Brian.
How's it going?
Hey, man.
Funny story, I became a Michigan fan for the exact same reason he became an Ohio State fan. But out of everybody, I actually give the nod to LeVar Arrington. This is a loaded question, because you're going to get people that have, like, crazy people like Essex Law here in Beaver County and whatnot. But LeVar Arrington was the opposite of Terrell Pryor on defense. I remember them just lining everybody up on the line of scrimmage and having LeVar as the linebacker, and he would shut down offenses in quad A for negative yards pretty much by himself roaming.
Thank you, Brian.
That's true. Like, he would.
Then yet you stopped yourself and didn't want to go with LeVar Arrington.
I think you had, just like in the NFL, when we talk about, like, is the greatest quarterback probably better than the greatest at some other position because of how many demands are placed on the player and how much they can impact the game, I kind of have to, yeah. LeVar did not play quarterback for those teams.
Steve is next. Hello, Steve.
Yeah, how's it going?
Hey, man.
So, luckily enough for me, I went to Jeanette. When Terrell was there, I graduated 2 years after him. So, like, I saw him there in high school, and I'm 6'2". I was 160 in high school. He was a man. He was 6'6". I think he's at 240. And so, like, going to any game, you just see that everyone is shorter than me. Their high school kids in AA are probably, like, 5'10 at most at halftime. And the guy's just running over everybody. He was a man among boys. I don't know when LeVar played. I don't think I was old enough to really watch him, but Terrell is by far the I was way too young back then. So for me personally, Terrell is the best high school athlete I've seen. And then to take it into to college a little bit, I mean, I went to Pitt. I got to see Ashton Gibbs. I stood next to him, and I think he was a great player, but I knew just by being next to him, like, he is not going to be in the pros just given his size. So,
all right, thank you, Steve. Yeah, I could have told you Ashton Gibbs wasn't going to be in the pros based on how he played defense.
Or how he tried to actually run the point.
Yeah. Here, Woodall got hurt. Here is Dave on The Fan. Hello, Dave.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi, man.
I played against Tony Dorsett in high school, and he was
That's
amazing.
That's another great one.
He was amazing.
How fast would you describe him being? Like, you're playing against him, how fast?
He ran five touchdowns against us in both games.
But, I mean, was it one of those things where if you didn't have him directly in front of you and you were a split second away from hitting him, he was probably going to run right past you kind of deals?
Oh, yep. I got him on a punt return, though. But I didn't get credit. I tripped him by his ankle, and he was going down, and then a bunch of guys fell on top of him.
How many times have you told that story as like an old, an old fishing story? Like, I didn't tackle him, but I did trip him up a little bit.
Every time we talk about Tony Dorsett and back in high school football.
Gotcha.
I like a good, honest answer. Yes, I do tell that story. I think my cousin Jeff, he played against LeVar when he was at Shaler, and I guess Shaler was loaded back then.
Okay.
The opposite of
what it is now.
He's told some tales about, I think they beat him at least LeVar's freshman and or sophomore year, so Shaler must have been stacked. I don't know if my cousin ever tackled him, but he definitely played against him.
I would think people of that age who grew up in Beaver County would say that Dorsett is the best high school football player, better than Pryor, because
Beaver County pride.
Not only that, though, but the greatness never stopped.
Great in college, great in the pros. A true every level all-timer.
Mastered everything.
Yeah. No, that's
elite at every stop.
I know, but I do think when you put this question out there, there are people who do separate, because sometimes
there are people who
correctly separate. Like if you were bad, like Brian Davis still gets talked about
way. I didn't ask who's the greatest football player to ever come out of Western PA. It's who was the best high school player you ever saw.
Well, most people are wise enough to know that the answer to that one's John Unitas.
Here's Tony next. Hello, Tony.
How you guys doing?
Hey,
hello,
man.
Tony.
Hey.
Tony, did you play against George Blanda?
No.
Okay.
But I coached in the Whippoorwill for 12 years as a defensive coordinator. I actually coached against Terrell, phenomenal athlete. He actually played defense end in high school, too, people don't know. But it's a loaded question, and the reason why I say that is because you had Terrell who he was unbelievable at the single-A level. But then you got somebody like Steve Preston, who completely dominated one of the best central teams ever to step foot on the field.
That's why this is a toughie. And a guy like you that has great knowledge should be able to answer this question. So who would you go with?
And I would go with Steve Preston because he did it at the quad A level and beat a team loaded, like I said, by that central team, just completely dominated by himself the whole game. They could not stop him. They had one of the best teams, high school football teams I've ever seen. I watched it at Heinz Field, and Stevie B just completely unloaded on him. It was crazy.
Tony. Appreciate
it. My dad's Steve Preston story is going to see Brandon Zangaro, who was one of the best North Hills athletes, and I went to grade school with him because he went to Catholic school until high school. Then he went on to North Hills and was very good there. My dad, I think I was in college at the time. I was still in high school. My dad went to go and see it because I was a year behind those guys or whatever.
Yep.
He goes, Chris, tonight I saw the difference between Division III speed and Division I speed. And it was just like they would direct snap it to Preston and they would just run student body right, student body left. My dad said
George Novak came up with that plan.
My dad said, Brandon had the angle on him headed toward the sideline and then you just kind of blinked. And Steve was 5 yards ahead of everybody down the sideline just galloping.
It does amaze me that Jason Taylor was such a late bloomer that when you ask people about his time at Woodland Hills, it's like, yeah, he played there, but he doesn't even register the way that
He does not ever get named this way.
And he's one of the greatest pass rushers in football history. I mean, I guess you could say, now we all know why he was there. It was just his dad was trying to get him to a football first school to raise his stock for colleges. But even Gronkowski's time at Woodland Hills is like that. He didn't catch a lot of balls. I mean, people will give you apocryphal stories of him basically pulling a Darnell Washington and blocking a guy 20 yards downfield.
He blocked kids routinely but into the fence surrounding
the
track.
It's not like Rob Gronkowski parachuted into Pittsburgh and was one of the most amazing high school football players of all time.
That always
people bring
made
up
me
his
laugh.
Basketball stories just as much as they do football stories.
I mean,
there.
The fact that he went to Woody High just made me laugh because his dad sent him to the school that believed the forward pass was like something sent by the devil. Jason Taylor, by the way, can you just imagine, just for a minute, now he probably was a lot lighter and skinnier than this when he got there. Imagine a dude who's about probably playing in high school at 6'6", 215 or thereabouts, and obviously has talent, he's a Hall of Famer, but he ends up at Akron. Can you just imagine present day, there's a kid on a Whippoorwill team who's 6'6", 220,
Chris,
shows real athletic ability, but offer he gets is Ball State.
I think the bigger late bloomer, even more than Jason Taylor, is Aaron Donald. I mean,
but Aaron didn't have. But the difference I'm saying there is Aaron physically did not have the obvious traits of 6'6" or like
sure.
Warren Sapp size.
But still, I mean, we're having this conversation. We're 25 minutes in. No one is going to call in or text in and say Aaron Donald's the best high school football player I've ever seen. Because, I think some people thought there might be some greatness in there. He'd be a really good college football player, but nobody thought he was going to be one of the five best defensive players in NFL history.
No, I mean, you could say even when he got drafted at 13th overall, people thought, oh, he might have a really nice career. You can actually say his true latest bloom came in the NFL.
No, I don't, dude. He was unstoppable at
Pitt. And it was like a progression, but he became more unstoppable in the NFL, man.
Nate is next. Hello, Nate.
Hey, guys. So, for me, this is a very tough question. I'm going to be 43. So, as a kid, one of the first guys I remember seeing was LeVar. And then as I got closer to high school age, I have guys like Brandon Short, Ron Graham. I went to Woodland Hills with Mundy and Lusaka Polite and Sean Spencer, all these great guys. And then I moved to Jeanette in my early 20s when Terrell was in high school. Stevie B is the greatest high school football player to ever come out of Pennsylvania.
Wow, Terrell, you agree with the last guy. That's incredible. Two Prestons. Back to back.
And I'm a Woody High guy, but it's just the simple fact that the competition level is completely different. Not that Terrell, if he would have stayed at Gateway, wouldn't have been dominant. But my goodness, it's Penn Hills. It's McKeesport. It's all these big schools with big-time D1 players going every year, NFL players going every year, and Stevie B trashed every single team that stepped on that field when they played us.
Respectfully, this is like
Nate, I'm going to put you on hold and give you the Pearl Jam tickets for just taking a controversial side here.
I would say respectfully, that's like an interesting perspective and something I kind of alluded to with Arrington. I do think, though, if Terrell Pryor was playing whatever it would have been, I guess quad A ball back in that day, the difference is his team would have also had bigger and stronger guys.
So
I think he would have laid waste to those quad A teams just like Stevie B did.
So one of my buddies from back home texted me while we were having this conversation. I said Will Smith was the best high school football player I ever saw. Number two, very close, and it feeds into this Pryor thing. Do you remember Mike Hart, the Michigan running back?
Yeah, I do.
So he played when I was at Syracuse. He's from there, and he went to a school. I think his graduating class was like 35 kids.
Mm-hmm.
So he played at the very, very, very lowest, whatever it was, however they classified schools back then. He played in the very lowest
sure.
section or classification. And, like, having watched some of his games, it wasn't fair for him to be there.
How do you even put together like a scouting report on him if
that's
you're a
what
college
I mean.
Coach? He's just taking the ball and running for a touchdown pretty much every time.
Yeah, and he wouldn't play in the second halves of games because it would just be like give him the ball five or six times. He's going to score four touchdowns and go for like 200 yards on eight carries, and that would be it. But
man,
so,
he was only 5'9".
Yeah.
Onondaga Central.
Yep. I'm telling you, his graduating class was probably like a couple of cousins.
He is not the only famous player from there. Latavius Murray.
I knew that. Yeah. I didn't see him, though.
In fact, he is. Not only is he not the best player from that school, he's not even the best running back.
Well, Hart's the best college running back from there. But you're right. Murray had a better NFL career. Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Moved up because of the Buccos game. It's Steelers insider Ray Fittipaldo, sponsored by Western PA Injury Attorneys of LGKG. Serving as your home team for over 90 years, LGKG.com. Malzy, why don't you start, Ray, with the fun one before we get into the Steelers?
Ray, we just had a big debate since Ross Tucker, the pride of Wyomissing High School, said Terrell Pryor was the greatest high school football player he's ever seen, described a very funny story from the state championship game. Who is the best Western Pennsylvania high school football player you have ever seen?
You know, Pryor was really good, but LeVar Arrington was probably on that level. I know LeVar didn't play quarterback. He didn't have the ball in his hands as much, but he was a freak from the time he was a freshman, just like Pryor.
Ray, I'm glad you said that because Pony was just killing me for hemming and hawing because it was between those two. I also took basketball class at Penn State, Ray. I like to challenge myself with the more rigorous coursework there. The like military drill instructor who taught the class said they once put a quarter. They got a ladder because LeVar took the class. Most of the football players did. They took a quarter, put it on top of the foam on the backboard there. LeVar took one step into a 2-foot broad, yeah, like vertical jump, plucked the quarter, yeah, off the backboard like it was nothing.
Yeah, like pull up the combine numbers from what? What it would have been like 99?
2000. 2000.
Yeah, I bet you LeVar was up over 40 on his vertical.
Ray, what's the best reason you have for why the Steelers passed on Shedeur Sanders three times in the draft last week?
You know, Tony, you asked me, I think, a week or two ago if I heard the meeting on the south side went bad. I didn't hear that, and I still haven't heard that. But I think there's a school of thought that if Shedeur Sanders is going to start his career as a backup, and, you know, he's not going to be treated, you know, like a starting quarterback in waiting, you know, what backup quarterback in the NFL, you know, has that entourage, you know, has that brand, has everything that's going on around him. So I think the NFL spoke. I think a lot of owners and GMs and coaches didn't want to deal with that so-called circus. And I think that's where we are. I was as shocked as anyone that he fell to the fifth round. You know, I wasn't all that surprised that he fell out of the first round, but, you know, to see him go from 2 to 3 to 4, and then, listen, if the Browns don't take him in 5, I don't know who's going to take him. So thankfully for Shador's sake, the Browns finally pulled the trigger in the fifth round.
Ray, we know that in 2022, all the rage before the draft was, oh, Mike Tomlin especially, and the Steelers like Malik Willis, that's their guy. Turns out, I think, yeah, we found out it was Pickett, Ridder, Willis on their board. He was at best third. Where do you think Shedeur Sanders, because we heard the same thing here, that, oh, they'll take him, they like him, there's a lot of people in that rumor of fans. Where do you, yeah, actually think they had him on their quarterback board for this draft?
Well, I think Cam Ward was everyone's number one. We know that the Steelers had a first-round grade on Jackson Dart. So I would believe Shedeur is probably anywhere from, you know, 3 to 7, I would say. I think they like Shock. I wish I knew if they liked him more than Shedeur Sanders. And you make a great point, Chris. You know, the smoke screens are everywhere throughout the pre-draft process. You know, especially with these pro days. You know, the Steelers, if you look at this, and I wrote about this for Sunday, the Steelers kind of tell you the truth with the pre-draft visits. You know,
yep,
they brought in 3 of the 7 draft picks that they selected over the weekend. 3 of them came in for visits. Out of the 21 players that Omar has drafted in his 3 drafts, 12 have come in for visits. So that's a real thing. I think the other stuff, the pro days, you know, all the chatter you hear at the combine, stuff like that, I think that's really where Mike kind of has a little bit of fun with people and, you know, kind of, you know, makes it a competition. And he said it last Tuesday, you know, it's the fun part, you know, kind of trying to, you know, lead people one way when maybe you're thinking another way. He kind of thinks it's a big game.
So based on what you just said there, if the Browns had passed on Sanders and, yeah, Howard and Sanders were both there in the 6th round, who do you think the Steelers would have picked, Ray?
I think probably Howard. And like I told you guys, I think they thought Shedeur was a good kid. I still didn't get any feedback that they were turned off by the interview, but I just think they weren't convinced he was ever going to be a starting level player for them. And when you look at a guy like Will Howard, Will Howard's going to come in here, he's going to grind, he's going to put his head down, he's not going to mind being a number 3 for a year. If you put that on Shedeur Sanders' plate, I think there's a lot of questions about how that guy would handle it. So I think the Steelers and probably every other team in the league except for the Browns kind of went through that calculus when, you know, when it came time to make that call.
Ray, what's, in your opinion, the motivating factor behind taking – I think everyone likes the player and especially likes the value, but positionally not a place people thought they had a need, Jack Sawyer. What do you think underpinned that decision, yeah, by the brass?
Well, it's interesting. If you look at some of the draft analysts, like Daniel Jeremiah had him number 70. I think somebody else had him late second-round pick. I mean, to get him at number 123, You know, there were a lot of people out there who thought he was going to go higher in the draft. So not that all the draft analysts have all the answers, but it seems like the Steelers were in line with that. And Omar talked about that when they came in and, you know, they made that pick. You know, the value was too good there to pass up. So it's going to be interesting to see how he fits. I think, you know, short term he'll be number four. Alex Highsmith is 27. He's got 3 years left. You know, we all expect TJ to, I think, get at least a three-year deal. So, you know, maybe in 2027, 2028, you know, he's a guy who signs a second contract, or at the very least, he's just a really good backup for 4 years, and then, you know, he moves on to another team. A lot of people have compared him to Mike Vrabel. You know, Mike Vrabel was only here for a rookie contract. He didn't go on to, you know, I hesitate to say stardom, but he didn't go on to become Mike Vrabel until he got to the Patriots after he left the Steelers. So I think he's a similar type of player.
Ray, our lads lists Caleb Johnson as the Steelers' starting running back, and the ESPN's analytical model for 2025, I don't know how the hell they do it with the simulations, but whatever, they have Johnson is putting up better numbers than Jaylen Warren this year. So I'm just curious, like, how do you see that running back room shaping up? Is it possible that Caleb Johnson, like Le'Veon Bell did as a second-round pick, Johnson a third, steps right in and is the starter, and Caleb Warren retains the role that he's had with the Steelers the entire time he's been here?
I will say this, Pony. I think by season's end, you will see a Jaylen Warren, like Najee Harris-like split in the carries. I think it's going to be really close. You know, 55-45, pretty close to 50-50. But you know the way the Steelers operate. They're not going to hand Caleb Johnson the starting job. So to say he's going to be RB1 coming out of training camp, that's just not going to happen. But, you know, to your point, Jaylen Warren is the better third down back. He's the better pass protector. He's the better receiver out of the backfield. So if you look at it just from that simple perspective, I think he is going to retain his role there. And then the Steelers are going to find ways to use Caleb Johnson on first and second down. And that makes all the sense in the world. He's a great fit for Arthur Smith's scheme. The outside zone is what he ran at Iowa. That's what Arthur wants to do here. So, yeah, eventually he is going to be the first and second down back. But I don't think you're going to see that necessarily very early on in the season.
Ray, three drafts in to now Omar Khan and Andy Weidel being GM and assistant GM, and we see early picks that have been spent, like the sheer number on offensive and defensive linemen, and then big guys like Caleb Johnson, a big back, for example.
Yeah.
How much should we read into that being Andy Weidel's influence? Like, what does that say about his level of say-so in how they're conducting these drafts?
Yeah, I think Omar saw it too. You know, I think Andy is the guy who does all the scouting there, but he's very much in sync with Omar and Mike on that. And, you know, Mike had that interview on the NFL Network on Saturday afternoon before he came in to talk to us, and he said before he even got to the shower in Baltimore, he was thinking about how they can become a more physical football team. So all the fans saw it, and Mike Tomlin and the rest of that coaching staff saw it as well. So you know, I've said this before. I think guys like DeMarvin Leal and Loudermilk and guys who have just kind of been hanging around and not doing much, all those guys were put on notice. You know, I think Y.A. Black is going to get a shot to get into that rotation this year, no matter that he's a rookie. I think people kind of saw what happened at the end of the year, and I think people said, we got to do something. Here's what we're going to do. And then Omar went out and executed it over the weekend.
Ray Fittipaldo, check him out, postgazette.com. Thank you, Ray.
All right, guys, talk to you next week.